Thanks, Liza. Good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to be here and have no financial relationships to disclose. We're all here in a session on international abortion because we care about what's going on in the world with abortion. And as we all know too well, the majority of the world's women live in countries where abortion is restricted on some level. As a consequence, each year, tens of thousands of women die from complications of unsafe abortions, and millions more experience acute and chronic complications. As a public health community, I would argue that we have a moral imperative to do something about these negative health outcomes. But we spend so much time these days talking about restrictions on abortion access, understandable given the state of affairs both in this country and elsewhere, but I think it is often to the detriment of thinking progressively about increased access to abortion, about meeting women where they are and helping them to access the abortions that they need and want. So in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to talk to you about abortion harm reduction approaches, specifically in the context of Indonesia. I'll introduce you to the field of mHealth and the potential that I see for mHealth to bridge some gaps in abortion care and abortion access. And I'll give you a sneak peek of the smartphone app that we're developing with our colleagues in Indonesia. In contexts where abortion is restricted by law or other barriers exist to legal abortion care, instead of using more traditional methods, women are increasingly choosing drugs for induced abortion, specifically misoprostol. Increased use of medication abortion in settings where abortion is legally restricted has been shown to significantly decrease the negative consequences of unsafe abortion by enabling women to safely self-induce. Unfortunately, misinformation about correct routes of administration, dosage, and timing is widespread. Drug quality in unregulated environments is often questionable, and knowledge about how and when to seek medical care is often lacking. Evidence from Latin America suggests that in contexts where abortion is illegal or access is heavily restricted, but where illegal use of misoprostol is widespread, complications from unsafe abortion remain, or illegal abortion, I should say, remain among the leading causes of gynecologic admission in health facilities. But morbidity in Latin America from unsafe abortion is strikingly low, and mortality from unsafe abortion has dropped dramatically in the past two decades. Harm reduction approaches, directly from the public health community, are strategies for combating mortality and morbidity from unsafe abortion by providing women with reliable information about the correct dosage and protocol for medication abortion. Such approaches can help to combat what are likely unnecessary visits to hospitals by women who have used medication abortion, as well as help to empower women to safely induce abortions on their own. Such approaches are gaining traction around the world in the form of hotlines and websites. Data from the group Women on Web indicate that women who access medical abortion through telemedicine can indeed safely terminate their own pregnancies. And though few abortion harm reduction programs have been rigorously evaluated, one study from Uruguay found that women who have both access to evidence-based information about misoprostol for safe abortion, as well as access to established links to healthcare services, can be empowered to self-induce abortion with very low rates of complication. So now let's shift to Indonesia. The abortion law in Indonesia lacks some clarity. In practice, abortions are permitted only to save a woman's life, though the law could be interpreted slightly more liberally. While data on abortion in Indonesia are sparse and also of questionable quality, some studies suggest that over 2 million abortions may occur in Indonesia each year. And no matter what data we have, it is clear that nearly all of whatever abortions are happening in the country are performed outside of the formal health system. The maternal mortality rate in Indonesia, in contrast to that of Latin America, remains high, and complications from unsafe abortion remain one of the leading causes of maternal mortality in the country. To date, there is no documentation of the extent of misoprostol use for abortion in Indonesia, but the drug is registered for gastric implications and it's available in pharmacies. The persistently high rates of maternal mortality and morbidity due to unsafe abortion in Indonesia indicate a pressing need for harm reduction approaches to help women terminate unwanted pregnancies without putting their lives at risk. Our partners in Indonesia, a group called Samsara, run a safe abortion hotline that provides women with information about safe abortion using medications. The hotline receives close to 1,000 calls a month, the majority of which are women calling the hotline seeking information about self-induced abortion with misoprostol. For Samsara, the volume of phone calls is often overwhelming for a small staff, and being a group that's not afraid of taking risks, they were seeking ways to better provide services to their population and to simultaneously reach more women than they already are. So we decided to partner and do some research into the development of a smartphone app for information about safe abortion in the Indonesian context. Why a smartphone app, you might ask? The World Bank estimates that by the end of this year, the number of cell phones will exceed the global population. And Indonesia is the fastest growing smartphone market in the world. Today, no matter where you go, mobile technologies are nearly ubiquitous, and links between mobile technology and health in both developed and developing country contexts are vast. From healthcare-targeted text messages, interactive programs aimed at changing health behaviors or encouraging us to exercise, to physical sensors and telemedicine. In contexts where cell phones are everywhere, but access to health services is limited, mobile health programs have proven successful at improving knowledge and empowerment around reproductive health, and in some instances, demonstrating improved reproductive health outcomes. But to date, there are indeed very few mobile health programs that are focused on abortion, let alone programs that are aspiring to improve access to information about safe abortion in restrictive contexts. So for this project, we collaborated with our partners in Indonesia to conduct formative research that would aid us in user-informed design of a smartphone app for information about safe abortion. We conducted two sets of in-depth interviews. First, we interviewed women who had successfully self-induced abortion using Samsara's services and explored their needs for information on safe abortion and other sexual and reproductive health issues, their questions and concerns about misoprostol, their mobile phone use patterns, their access to smartphones, their phone sharing practices, their privacy concerns, etc. Based on the results of these interviews and drawing from other harm reduction materials, we then developed a prototype for a smartphone app. Last month, we conducted another series of interviews with women to solicit feedback about the app, what they liked, disliked, would like to see added, or changed. We're still in the process of analyzing transcripts from that second round of interviews. But overwhelmingly, women are excited about the app, the potential it brings for convenience, for privacy, for easy access to important life-saving information. I'm happy to talk to anyone who's interested about the content of the app or the design process, but in the short time that I have, I wanted to present a few screenshots from the prototype that we developed that highlight a few of the elements of the app that women found particularly helpful and exciting. And to note, these are snapshots of the prototype. We are currently now improving upon the prototype. We'll hopefully have a working beta version of the app out. We'll see. in a few months is my guess. We're not sure how long it's going to take. But this is the version that the women saw in the second round of interviews, and I'm showing you screenshots of things that they were excited about. So the first is the idea of walking women through the process of medication abortion with what the mobile health community likes to call an avatar. So these, of course, will not actually be the images that women in Indonesia will see, but it gives you an idea of what this experience will be like. There's a feature on the app where women will get walked through every step of the process, from contraindications to making sure that they have all of the things they need to be prepared for. But the first step is picking an avatar who can sort of help them through the process. So a picture of this person, this avatar, will show up in the upper corner of every screen, and it's an image or an icon that they will select in this first process. And there's been quite a bit of research in mobile health now to suggest that women feel quite supported and really enjoy the experience of having this almost personal-like interaction. So that was something that we found in our interviews as well. Women were quite excited about the idea of an avatar. Another function that seems to be exciting and popular is the idea of a calendar, which can help women track their symptoms, can help them track the whole process, the timing of the process. We have built into the app an optional function that women can opt into that they can set to send them reminders about when to take their next set of pills, when to take a pregnancy test, specific reminders along the process that can be programmed into the calendar and can essentially serve as push notifications on a cell phone. But another nice feature of the calendar is that they can go in on each day or at a given time even during the day and log symptoms that they're experiencing. They can track how heavy their bleeding is, for how long. Of course, it's an optional feature. Not all women are going to want to do this, but it seems like something that is of interest to some women. Another feature that we think is going to be quite important, especially given the proliferation of imposter drugs in Indonesia and elsewhere, is a feature that shows pictures of what real misoprostol should look like, and ideally we're hoping to have pictures also of some of sort of fake drugs that women have gotten. The technology actually exists out in the world to be able to take a photograph of a pill and upload it and verify, but something that we're quite aware of is that often in Indonesia, women don't necessarily have permanent access to the internet, so we need this app to be able to function in an offline mode, and so we are, at least for now, just sort of having like a flip book of pictures. Eventually, I think the next step, and certainly in some contexts where the app could be functioning in an online mode, we might think about actually doing active pill identification. And another piece of the app that women are really excited about is other information about sexual and reproductive health issues. So something that we wanted to know was, would you want to keep this app on your phone after your abortion, or do you want to just get rid of it? And it really seems like women are quite interested in having information about family planning, about healthy relationships and power dynamics, and other sexual and reproductive health topics. They feel like they'd like to have this app on their phone, they'd like to keep it around and use it as a reference. So that to me is exciting, and we are hoping to further explore some of the other topics that we haven't been focusing on as much to try to give women the kind of experience that they're looking for. Another thing that is important to us and we have spent a lot of time thinking about
is privacy. So you probably have seen in each screen that there's a lock. And so we're building in a feature for a quick exit. So if you click on that lock, you get booted out of the app. It closes. The app is password protected. It's interesting, in every presentation I've ever given to audiences who won't be using the app, their first concern tends to be privacy. And, you know, what would happen to women if someone found this app on their phone, you know, information got into the wrong hands. It's certainly a concern that women have had, but it has not been their overwhelming concern. It really seems like the convenience and the idea of being able to have this kind of information literally in their pocket trumps major concerns about privacy. We certainly have built in a passcode feature, and that seems to be enough for at least the women that we've interviewed in Indonesia. Now, I will say, I think in other contexts where there might be more phone sharing, we may see a different response about privacy. But it's something that we've thought a lot about in Indonesia, and this seems to be a reasonable solution. Of course, we have to test it and actually get it into women's hands, but it's certainly been interesting. So smartphone technology is exciting, but we do recognize that in many parts of Indonesia, as well as many parts of the world, smartphones and the internet are not yet accessible to everyone, in fact, to most people. So we are also in the process of developing a text message platform that will basically disseminate the same information that we are building into the app to women who don't have access to smartphones but do have access to something like a feature phone or just a candy bar phone. The text message platform is intended to increase awareness and access to safe abortion services to a wider range of women in Indonesia. We're also hoping that that the app and the text message platform will have a broader reach than just Indonesia as well. There are a world of possibilities for the intersection of mobile health and access to safe abortion. We still do not yet know what the most effective platform nor the most important characteristics of such an intervention will be. So the next step for this program and any other program being developed for mobile health and safe abortion is to design rigorous evaluations of their impact, focusing on reducing morbidity and mortality associated with unsafe abortion. Thanks so much. And a special thanks to my co-author, Elise Belusa, who actually went to Indonesia and conducted the second round of interviews. She's in the audience, so can possibly help to answer some of your questions. So that's it's a tricky question. Some women who call the hotline have misoprostol in hand. They've already gotten it. The hotline. So in the app itself, we aren't telling them where to get it. It's not. It's sort of. This is a boundary that harm reduction approaches really. Really tiptoe around. So actually telling women where to get misoprostol could be considered illegal. Most women have some idea, and there's certainly, you know, women know women who have gotten it at a pharmacy and that it's been effective and successful. I'm guessing that that the hotline probably oversteps that legal bound every now and then, but I think for, you know, they need to protect themselves, and so their real goal is to give women information about how to use misoprostol, not necessarily where to get it. I think that, you know, that different hotlines take different approaches, but just to stay within the legal boundaries, that's sort of how harm reduction approaches work, and each individual hotline or harm reduction approach takes their own interpretation of that. So. Jesse. Yeah. Thank you. So it was sort of a stroke of luck in that I met Ina Hudaya, who is the founder of Samsara, at the Unsafe Abortion Conference in Thailand a couple years ago. And she is just this remarkable woman who is willing to take any risk that she has to take to get women access to safe abortion. And so we started talking about smartphones and how common they are in Indonesia. And so I did some research, and indeed, it's the fastest growing smartphone market in the world. It seemed like a really good fit for a pilot of a smartphone app. As I said, taking the information and getting it out to women who don't have access to smartphones is certainly on our agenda. Almost everyone in the world has access to a phone, and so that using the technology is really important. We just thought that starting big and developing for the most complex platform was a good way to go. It's easy enough to translate that, you know, just to take the text off of a smartphone app and put it into text messages, but to put the actual development and the formative research into designing a smartphone app. I mean, I would argue in 10 years smartphones are going to be as ubiquitous as candy bar phones everywhere. So I think it's smart to develop for the future and also take into context what's happening on the ground now. So yes, we do have plans to expand it elsewhere. We are currently seeking funding, so if anybody knows anyone who's excited about self-induction, let me know.
I know there are more questions.